All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. This week on Word Bros, we welcome a Canadian dude.
Which is awesome.
All the way from the Great White North. His book is from 215 Inc. It's called A Dr. Crow. His name is Corey Fryer.
Corey Fryer is awesome. So, once again, we are here, the Word Bros.
Corey Fryer is awesome. Once again.
Once again. Yes. It's actually our second interview with him. So.
Well, yeah, the first one didn't go so well. We had audio issues, so we talked to him the second time. And I was telling Kevin... right before I hit record on this thing, it's amazing what a interview will do when you can actually hear the person you're interviewing, right?
It's a much better interview.
Yeah, like it really makes everything better, you know, just the quality of the conversation and the whole nine yards, just better when you can hear someone. It's nice.
It just increases the view on everything. So also, like, you know, we get to talk about other cool stuff like pro wrestling. So
if you're into that kind of thing.
Your favorite comic book tag team, the Word Bros, will bring you Corey Fryer.
Oh, yeah!
R from your father.
That's not a bad James Earl Jones.
That's not the line of dialogue though. He never says it. No.
Now, did you notice that in the new movie, Rogue One, that Darth Vader totally has old man voice? Did you hear that the voice sounds different because James Earl Jones's voice sounds different?
Got to be a little different, yeah. He has old dad jokes, so yeah. He has the old dad voice.
Yeah, he's totally got old man voice. It was really funny. Yeah. I thought that was awesome. All right, so we are talking to Corey Fryer, right?
Bingo.
Yeah, we're talking to Corey Fryer. He is the creator of the smash hit comic from 215, the graphic novel is coming out in November. It is called Dr. Crow.
Yes, that is it. Your clap is amazing, by the way.
You know, I've practiced that for a really long time.
He actually just wanted to use it somewhere, so this is...
It's true. My dad was a golfer, so I learned it, the golf clap, from watching golf with my old man.
Yeah, you gotta have that quiet clap.
Yeah. Oh, yes,
wow. Wow, what a shot. What a shot on the green.
Amazing. Now, Corey, if memory serves me correctly, and this is, I don't know why I know this, but you're in Bowling Green, Kentucky, correct?
That is correct. I am in Bowling Green, Kentucky, but I'm not from here.
No, you're, well, from the first interview we did with the bad audio, you're from Canada.
Correct.
Wow.
Which is why he's so nice.
I love Canadians.
Now, that's why I'm very apologetic.
What part of Canada are you from?
City called Peterborough. It's in Ontario. It's near, easiest way to describe it to Americans where it's from is to say it's near Toronto, but it's kind of like north.
Okay.
Of Toronto.
Interesting. Now, how is your experience?
You have
a love of
poutine?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Never had poutine? You're missing out. Poutine is amazing.
I've never had like gravy.
You like fries and you like cheese. Poutine is like a heavenly gift.
I've never even heard of this poutine. I'm gonna have to look into that.
Tell Bob what poutine is, because it's amazing.
Okay, so do you like French fries, Bob?
Yeah, very much so.
Do you like brown gravy, Bob?
I do.
Do you like cheese?
I have a torrid relationship with cheese. I shouldn't eat it because it's not good for my diet, but I like it. You know what I mean? Like, I try to go dairy free every once in a while.
Yeah, I know the feeling, but poutine is so amazing.
Okay.
You'll throw that diet out the window because all, right. All those ingredients in one.
Wow, that sounds pretty great.
Delicious thing ever. It's terrible for you, but oh my God, is it good.
Now, this is the first because my sister, she dates a Canadian dude, and I've never heard of of poutine. I'm going to have to ask him about it.
Well, interrogate that guy. And if he doesn't know what poutine is, you ask to see his birth certificate.
Oh, he's a real Canadian dude. He's a professional hockey coach. Like, he's as real as Canadian as you can be.
Good. Then he'll know what poutine is.
All right. I'll have to ask him next time I see him. Now, are you a hockey fan? Do you like, you a hockey
Absolutely.
Fan?
I've played hockey my entire life. Well, not so much anymore. Kind of it's broken down old man body, but I follow hockey. I play fantasy hockey. If hockey is a huge part of my life.
Now, who's your team?
Yeah.
Well, I've been a Pittsburgh Penguins fan since I was 5 years old.
Interesting. Okay.
So the back-to-back Stanley Cups we just won were quite amazing.
Because I will say you do have quite the playoff beard.
Yes. Actually, you know what? I grew this around Christmas, and I said I wasn't going to shave it until they won the cup. And then they won it back-to-back. So I decided, you know what? It's a good luck thing, so I'm going to keep it around, see if we can reap.
All right. And so you're a big Pittsburgh Penguins fan. It's got to be nice to tank twice in a row and get two, you know, once in a lifetime players in Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, it. You know what? The thing is, though, everybody says that, but there were some dark times.
I know there was
some very, very bad teams. I earned these victories.
No, because in between, like once Lemieux kind of retired and Crosby came in, you guys were pretty terrible. There was even rumors like you were leaving Pittsburgh, like you were that bad.
Oh yeah, the team almost moved to Kansas City. Yeah, it would have been.
Ugh. Yeah, it was really bad. So it's you guys have won what, 5 cups now? I think. Is it 5?
There's back-to-back in 91 and 92, then again in 2008, and then back-to-back these past 2 years.
So you've won 5 cups. That's not bad. Yep. That's not bad. I was an Islander fan for a long time, but then since my sister's boyfriend is a Maple Leafs fan, I became a Maple Leafs fan. And he was like, well, they're going to be terrible for a really long time. But they were pretty good last year.
Hey, if last year's an indication of what's going to happen, they're going to be damn good going forward.
Because that was your toughest playoff series was against the Maple Leafs. Because you guys went 7, right? You went 7 tough games.
That's a tough team. And it's
and they're young.
They're very young and they have terrible defense, but somehow they have a great coach. So
I can't believe the Red Wings gave him up. Like, that's just idiotic on their part. Mike Babcock. Yeah,
and look at the Wings now. So,
yeah, they're just garbage, which is sad because they're one of those franchises. Like, they need to be – for hockey to be good, the Wings need to be good.
Yeah, they have one of the largest fan bases in the entire world. Yeah. So the fact that they suck now is not good for anybody. But you know what? They were good for a really long time. So
they were. They were.
At some point.
Yeah, you know what? Screw them.
Yes, agreed.
So no more crying in your all-dressed chips over your hockey then.
Oh, I love all dressed chips. You know they sell all dressed chips down here?
Yes.
It's amazing down here, but I mean, like, you know, in the United States.
Yeah, Kevin got us hooked on those things.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. They're not as flavorful as the real Canadian all dressed chips.
They don't have much,
it's the same flavor, but like Canadian all dressed chips have more, I guess, like flavor dust, whatever the heck was on, like
flavor seasoning. Dust. I believe the word's called seasoning, writer.
Seasoning. Yeah. No. I'm pretty sure it's flavor dust. See, I took a boring word like seasoning and turned it into a
more. You took the proper word and made it wacky and fun.
That's writing in a nutshell.
Right there, buddy. But yeah, so because Kevin introduced the all dressed chips to us, and if they're better in Canada, I'm in Cincinnati. I can be in Canada in like 7 hours, dude. So I'm going.
But Cincinnati, you've got the what are they called? The what are those chips? I have some of them on top of my fridge.
The Grippos.
Grippos, yes. Yeah. Grippos are damn good.
They're good. I'm not native to Cincinnati, but apparently there's enough MSG in Grippos to like kill a small child. So you have to be very careful.
Yeah, see, I used to live up there in Cincinnati. I lived there for a year, and I like wined and dined on Grippos. And my parents still live there. My brothers both live there. So
able
to get shipments of that stuff. And La Rosa's Pizza, they don't have
that. Yeah. La Rosa's is awful. I can't stand it. Like everything that's native to Cincinnati, I can't stand minus UDF.
Skyline Chili is just diarrhea in a little cardboard carrier thing. Oh, it's terrible. It's so bad.
It's not chili. It's watered down meat sauce with cinnamon in it. Like,
exactly. That's not chili.
Gross. No, it's not.
Nope.
Like, but you like the donut place. Bobby always talks about the donut.
Holtman's is good. Now, were you here when Holtman's was around?
I don't think I've ever was eating donuts during that time. It might have been there.
All right. Holtman's is like a hipster donut place in over the Rhine. Very good. Yeah. Very good stuff. But yeah, Skyline Chili is terrible.
pure garbage.
Straight pure trash. Garbage. Like straight trash.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me to eat Skyline Chili.
No, I mean, I tried it.
You know what? I'm easily bought. You probably could. But
there's an editor. No, you couldn't. So an editor says, all right, Corey, here's the deal. You're right.
Write whatever you want. You just have to eat Skyline Chili every day for the rest of this week.
Would you do it? If somebody said, hey, you can write Spider-Man for the next 6 months if you eat Skyline Chili every day for 6 months, what do you do?
Oh, God.
What
do you my bowels would hurt. My bowels would hurt. So I'd have to owe them an apology. But you know what? To write Spider-Man, hell yeah, I'd do that.
All right. All right.
I wouldn't enjoy it, but.
And then when Spider-Man is about him battling like constant intestinal pains and diarrhea all the time.
Dr. Octopus is in there somehow.
What happened to Spider-Man? He just shits his pants all the time.
On the toilet.
That's not web fluid.
No, not at all. So Corey's here. This is the second interview we did with him. The first one didn't go too well because the audio was really bad. And I'll say this one is way better because we're talking about hockey and chips and diarrhea. So what's this?
That's the holy trinity of podcast interviews. Yes.
Not a lot of info on comics, but if you want to keep your bowels healthy, listen to Word Bros.
We'll get there.
No, I'm teasing.
Now, Corey, your book, The Trade for Dr. Crow, comes out November 1st, correct, from 215?
Yes, $15.99. The diamond code is SEP171999.
Wow, he didn't have that last time. I was searching for that frantically.
I was prepared this time.
Nice, I like it.
And if you pre-order from Midtown Comics, you can save 30% off, so...
There's another great slug.
Yes.
He's a pro, this
now,
guy.
Now, for those people that may not know who Dr. Crow is, what Dr. Crow does, who is this Dr. Crow you speak of? Tell the Word Bros audience all about him.
All right. Dr. Crow is an adventuring scientist. He's an expert on the occult. He's a pulp hero, an adventurer. And what he does is he travels around the globe and he seeks out these supernatural terrors and monsters and things that are plaguing specific areas all over the globe, and most people don't want to believe that they exist, but he exists in a world where he knows that those things are very much real, and he goes and he eliminates them to save people all over the world.
That sounds lovely.
Yes.
That sounds lovely.
Think of it like gothic horror meets Indiana Jones with a little bit of steampunk thrown in there. Just a hint. A dash, if you will.
That's a good pitch of the flavor. The flavor dust.
Dust of Dr. Crow.
Flavor dust.
So it's in a different format than most comics, too. So explain that to the listeners, like how you decided to do that differently than most comics or not.
All right. So each issue has three stories in it, and when I say that, there's a main story that's 8 pages long, and there's two shorter stories that are 6 pages long each. So there's like the feature story and then there's two supplemental stories. And the reason I ended up doing that was when Matt and I first, Matt Horak, who co-created the character with me, we first did a Dr. Crow story. We did a short. And when it came time to expand on more Dr. Crow, Matt was getting busy. He was working with Rob Liefeld.
Wow.
Book. And then eventually now he's working on Punisher at Marvel. So he's a pretty busy guy. So rather than throw out Matt's work, what I wanted to do was try to find something that was financially viable for me while also keeping Matt's work alive. So I thought, you know, it's a lot easier to get an artist to sign on to something if they're not making a lengthy page commitment.
Yes.
So if I can get them for 6, 8, 5, however many pages, they're more than likely going to say, okay. And you know, fortunately, I was right about that because I've got some pretty cool artists to work with. I know the first guy I approached that drew Dr. Crow after Matt was Tony Grigori, who's an awesome guy that I found on Kickstarter, a project that he was doing with David Crispino at the time. And he just ended up, you know, just kicking total ass on Dr. Crow. And he has a story in every single one. And actually, the first story he drew of Dr. Crow was the very first thing, was the very pitch pages that I used to pitch Dr. Crow to 215 Inc. And once they saw his artwork with Josh Jensen's colors, they just went nuts.
Josh is a great colorist.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, real nice guy. He's, he's, uh, he, I think he has a color. I think he's colored at least one story in every Dr. Crow issue. There's four of those total. Yeah, I think he's colored every one in every one of those too.
That's awesome. So you have a rotating group of artists, and that's, again, we mentioned this in the first interview that no one heard, so I don't even know why I'm referencing it. It's very hard to get a book picked up in that format, but you clearly blew the doors off of 215 Inc. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I'm gonna tell a story, but I don't want to make it sound like it's a backdoor brag or I'm bragging on myself. It just
brag away.
Hashtag humble brag.
If you've never created a book and tried to pitch it, it's, let me tell you how that goes. Usually you send an email and either nobody replies and your soul is crushed, or someone says, oh, cool, I'll take a look, and then you never hear back.
Yeah.
With 215 Inc., I pitched Dr. Crow to them, because I knew some other people that had had books with them in the past. And I received an email back within 20 minutes.
Wow.
Now, I don't want to say this is always going to happen with them. This was just my, scenario. I pitched a Dr. Crow story called Beneath the Black that Tony drew. And they loved it right from the get-go. And so that was weird because it was the complete opposite of any other pitch experience I've ever had in my entire life. And they said I told them the story of, the whole, we're going to do these little short stories, and they loved it. They liked the idea of it being a throwback to old serials, from the past. And I was extremely fortunate that we were, seeing eye to eye on that.
That's awesome. That's really terrific. And that wasn't a brag. It's not like you were saying, like, these fucking guys, they drove to my house with one of those armored trucks full of money and they dropped all the money over. They said, take what you want. I was like, you better bring another fucking truck, baby, because I want all that shit. So, no, that wasn't much bragging. You just said you had a good idea and they liked it. That's awesome.
That's amazing. Well, I sincerely wish that's how pitches went. But, never happens.
The Brinks truck will be right over, Mr. Vria. Thank you. All right.
If only.
Yes.
And then he would say, I don't know if you know, but I'm kind of a big deal. Yes. I have a house with many leather bound books.
It smells like rich mahogany.
That's awesome. So you got Dr. Crow coming out, and that is November 1st, and you've got other things you're working on, because that's what we do. That's what indie creators do. That's what we just create to create, because that's how our lives work.
Yes, on September 27th, before I even jump to some newer stuff, September 27th is Dr. Crow number 3, October 11th is Dr. Crow number 4, and then we jump right into the trade November 1st. So
boom.
There's some Dr. Crow coming at you really fast, really furious, minus Vin Diesel, but a whole lot of Paul Walker.
Now, what if I'm all like, hey, dude, I'm more of a trade guy. I don't know if I want to buy the single issues. Do you tell me to go fucking jump in a lake and buy the singles and the trade, or are you cool with that?
Well, here's the thing. singles keep a series alive. So if you want that trade, you should really go buy those singles.
You hear that, cool guy?
Yeah, go buy those singles. Cool guy, please buy those. But I know that not everybody's going to buy them, and you can only do so much with that. So the fact that we got to the trade at this point is just, a triumph over myself right there for myself.
That's awesome.
But outside of Dr. Crow, well, I'll give you a Word Bros exclusive that I gave you on the last one. There is going to be a little bit more Dr. Crow, and it's going to come in the form of a one-shot that myself and Tom Ward, the creator of Merrick the Sensational Elephant Man,
yes,
are doing. That's going to be a crossover team up with Merrick and Dr. Crow. We're working on it now. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's just going to be like 24 pages, I believe. It's going to tie in with the storyline that's going on in the Merrick comic, if anybody's reading that, which you should, because it's really cool. And that's going to be a whole lot of fun, and that's going to hit Kickstarter eventually. So
that's awesome.
Probably 2018.
Those dudes are fucking Kickstarter machines. Like, they know how to run an effective Kickstarter. And Kevin and I always talk about that. Like, if Kickstarter is going to be part of your comic making plan, make sure you do it and you do it well. You've run some successful Kickstarters. Do you have any advice for people out there looking to go down that road?
Man, it's tough. You really got to throw Like, yeah, you know, it's like, give it your all. But no, really, you really got to give it your all or you're just wasting your time. That you need to get people hooked. You need to have a clear, concise message. Have part of your book, at least part of your book completed before you even approach that. Take a look at other people's Kickstarters that you like Tom's. Fabian Rangel Jr. has really good, really, really good, strong following. He's a guy that I just look at his Kickstarter stuff. I'm like, man, he's doing it right. There's Tyler James has so much stuff.
Yes, the Comic Tribe dude. Yeah. Yes,
Comic Tribe that you, if you're not looking at that, then you're, and you want to kickstart something, then you might as well just not do it because he has done everything and he's laid it out for you and you need to know.
I, you know what? I just heard the Canadian come out of you. He's laid it out for you. I heard a little bit of it. That was good. See, because I didn't hear in the first interview and that's, I just heard a little slip out. That was cool.
Sometimes it gets a little Bret Hart promo in there.
Ah, dude. Now, is Bret Hart your favorite wrestler of all time?
He's one of them. My favorite of all time is the Macho Man Randy Savage heel.
That's, you do have a, you have a late Macho Man Savage beard going on there.
Well, so see, like, okay, let me tell you something. For years, we're gonna divert from comics here for a second, but for years I had a clean shaven face. I was Macho Man Randy Savage for Halloween one year. I grew a beard, and since then I've kept that beard. So, you know, the madness may be dead in the form in Macho Man, but the madness lives on in this beard because it is a tribute to my favorite wrestler, Macho Man Savage, and it's lived on ever since.
No, so Macho is your favorite. Where does Bret Hart rank in your top 10 of professional wrestlers?
Because we like wrestling, so we're gonna ask.
Man, he's in the top 10. I don't know if he cracks the top 3 though, because I'd have to have Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho.
Okay.
In that top 3. So there's a Canadian for you.
No, well, Jericho is a Canadian. He's awesome. Yeah.
I like Shawn Michaels, but I can't believe being Canadian, you actually chose HBK over Bret the Hitman Hart. That's why you're not in Canada.
Shawn Michaels is the single greatest wrestler of all time.
Oh, that's bullshit. Bullshit.
And
that's bullshit.
Nobody compares to him.
Dude, no. Ric Flair is the greatest wrestler of all time. You're crazy.
Ric Flair is a good wrestler. He's a great technical wrestler. But as far as in-ring goes, Shawn Michaels beats him 100% of the time.
Now, the thing that Shawn Michaels...
I love Rick.
Listen, no. The thing that Shawn Michaels could never do, and this was I think Shawn Michaels.
Hey, you saw the match with Hogan. He was selling like crazy. Oh, yeah,
you had to, because Hogan was like 88 years old and being all racist and stuff. But the thing that Flair had over Michaels is Flair is better on the microphone. Flair on the stick is phenomenal. Yes, dude. Yes,
and better skills are great. Yes, I'll give you that. Yes,
better than because Mike Shawn Michaels. Shawn Mike. Yeah. He's
well, let me ask you this question, so we're talking about wrestling. Who do you think is the best mic worker of all time?
Oh, good question.
Hint, it's not Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels.
No, it's not. Oh, that's a good question.
You know, if I had to go the best on-mic performer in the history of wrestling...
In the history of wrestling.
I'm going to give you 3, okay?
All right.
In no order. I'm going to say... Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Amazing, yep.
I'm going to say The Rock.
I'm going to say The Rock, yeah.
And then the last one would be the American Dream Dusty Rhodes.
See, I thought your last one you were going to go CM Punk. I was going to be really impressed.
I'm old school, man. I'm an old school dude. Like, I play this role-playing game called Spirit of 77, and my character's voice is Dusty Rhodes. I talk like this, you understand? And I am, if you wheel in there all day and all night, baby, and this is just how Dusty Rhodes does it. He's the son of a plumber, man. He'd been up and down this East Coast, West Coast, all over the world, wrestling down Boogie Fever.
Well, I think you forgot about Lawler. Lawler in the 70s. No,
I mean, Lawler, yeah, but I mean, like, I'm talking, like, natural dudes.
If I'm picking one, it's The Rock. He's just the best. The Rock,
I would agree with you.
The Rock is phenomenal.
Are you gonna throw chicken McNuggets at The Rock?
Austin was wonderful. And then you can't go wrong with Dusty Rhodes.
No, Dusty was great.
I mean, Dusty was, just watch some of old Dusty's promos. They're just amazing.
Who's the worst?
The worst?
I mean, there's so many shitty guys on microphones.
What's his name now? I don't remember his name now, but Michael McGillicuddy cut one of the worst promos ever. He was like,
Ultimate Warriors were terrible.
Yeah, but he was so...
No way. Ultimate Warriors was awesome. This plane into a nosedive.
Hulk Hogan.
The worst...
to cycle back to Kickstarter and with wrestling.
But let me, you know what the one of the worst guys is? Bret the Hitman Hart. He was kind of terrible.
Why don't you cut the malarkey? Bret the Hitman's the best there is, best, the best there was, was, best ever will be.
But the thing is, that's every Bret the Hitman Hart promo. It's like, oh, I'm the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
Excellence of execution. Yeah. Hypnosis, whatever his name is, real jam up guy. El Dandy, I've been sizing you up since I came in this company. No, so here's a Kickstarter tip that involves wrestling. If you saw the first Dr. Crow Kickstarter, or actually the only Dr. Crow Kickstarter, I had a promise that I hit a certain amount of money at a certain time, which I don't remember what it was, that I would dress up in my Macho Man Halloween costume and kind of promo thanking people. And you know what? I hit that in like 30 seconds because apparently people wanted to see me dress up like the Macho Man.
That's so awesome.
That was a Kickstarter tip.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Always do something stupid.
Yes. Well, here's what I say. A lot of people make a mistake that they think that their little video has to be super funny.
Yeah.
And most people, the reality is they're not funny. So so don't do that. Just give me like, come in and say, this is what my project is about. Show me some images. Give me a little elevator pitch. Tell me who's in your team. Keep it with under like, if you go more than 3 minutes, then you've lost me.
If you go longer than 3 minutes, I don't know what the fuck you're doing at that point. Yeah.
Like that, the nice medium there is keep me at like 2 minutes to 2:30. Don't go any longer than that if you don't have to.
Dude, get in, get out. Get in, get out. You know what I'm saying?
And never start your video with, oh, I didn't see you there.
Nah, see, it depends on how you're doing that.
Oh, hello.
Throwing a little shade in there.
Yeah, that thanks for the shade, Corey. I appreciate
you're welcome.
Hey, Kevin made 8 G's on Kickstarter. So I'm doing.
We all can't be as handsome as him. That's how
I'm saying.
It was all for a beard. Like people, like there was a thing at the end that they're like, he'll shave his beard if we get to this amount. And I was like, man, I'll do it on camera.
Well, you said you would shave your beard when you become published, and we're getting published in the If anthology coming out soon.
Yeah, but that's not like legit.
That's a fucking publisher.
It's legit. Well, hold on though. If he gets rid of that beard, he'd have to kind of change it up now. But he'd be getting rid of an older version of a Christian Dabari.
Yeah, he does. He's in an older version. I like how you stuck it in a little bit to an older version.
Well, I'm saying older version because a dated version because Christian has changed up his beard.
Christian has a goatee now, is what he's
saying. Yeah, right. And now he resembles, which I've given him shit for, is the dude from System of a Down. So
nice.
He looks like a wise guy, kind of. It looks like he's going undercover to he's that cop going undercover to crack the mob.
That's he's Donnie Brasco.
He's Donnie Brasco.
I got cancer to prick. But yeah, so I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. Who's your favorite guy on a microphone then, all time?
Definitely The Rock.
Okay, all right. So we all agree that The Rock is probably the best one.
Yes, and that was the correct answer to begin this entire conversation of that.
And then Flair's in there too. I mean, you can't go wrong watching Flair promos. I mean, they're just fucking brilliant because.
Oh, yeah.
He's fucking throwing Rolexes at people and talking about his leather shoes. it's hilarious.
And dropping elbows on his jacket. Yeah. So sweating profusely.
That's the later WCW Ric Flair promos where he's beating up his clothes.
Well, what if I could wrestle his clothes and be more entertaining than Triple H? So, I mean,
no disputing that. One of my favorite things about Ric Flair did was when it was a promo with him. It was Pittsburgh. I don't remember what year it was, but it was him and Kurt Angle, and they were like wooing each other. And that was good and entertaining, but they were both sweating so badly. They like went through their shirts completely. Like Angle's wearing this blue shirt and just sweating so badly. And drenched it. And then Flair's like red-faced, wooing back, and he's sweating. It looks like it must have been like 500 degrees in the arena, but that's one of my favorite things of all time.
Now, let me ask you this question. This is a bit of Ric Flair trivia. Do you remember when he faked having a heart attack in WCW?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And WCW at the time was so just over the top and fucking crazy that you literally thought Ric Flair was having a heart attack on the show. I believe it was on like Thursday Night Thunder. They didn't even do it on Nitro. Ric Flair's faking a heart attack
WCW did Flair dirty. They didn't use, like, it was like, I mean, in the later years, not so much.
Yes. Yeah. No, in the later years with the NWO and Bischoff and all those dudes.
Well, yeah. There's another guy that's good on the mic that I don't think of all the time just because Scott Hall was good on the mic.
Scott Hall's good on the mic.
Yes.
Yeah, but how many times you say, hey, yeah, and then cut one more for the bad guys?
Yeah, I was like, Scott Hall.
Thing over and over.
Yeah,
I mean, but he was entertaining.
He was cool, though. I mean, you know who we are, but you don't know why we're here. It's like, what are you talking about, Scott? Well, this is great. I think Kevin Nash gets too much credit for being good on microphones. Ain't that good? That's just
no. Me. And that's why Hall always had the microphone.
Yeah, because Kevin.
Yeah, but Nash was entertaining great. when he did yeah. Like
his faces were entertaining. His gestures.
Yeah, very good mannerisms and facial thing. Yeah, he was funny. Like when he dressed up as Sid. And then Sid came out and screwed up that line. He says, I'm not as stupid as, or he says something like, I'm half the man that you are, and I got half the brain that you do. There's somebody who's great on the mic. Psycho Sid, amazing.
You know who's great on a microphone, but in the worst way possible, is Big Papa Pump. That guy was the worst. Scott Steiner cut the shittiest promos that were the best things in the whole wide world.
You know what I'm saying? And in TNA, he would go, Smojo! It wasn't Smojo. Smojo!
You're just too fat!
He's too fat! What a complete loser.
Yeah, but you know what, though? He runs like a Shoney's down in Atlanta now.
Is that what he does?
Yes. Successful. When you run a Shoney's, you've made it.
Yes, run a Shoney's in Atlanta, you're big time.
So he's like
shave his beard. Holla if you hear me.
Big Papa Pump's your hookup.
So, all right. But Corey, this book is coming out. It's taken over the world. You're doing crossovers with people. I mean, you've got all these great ideas.
What's the other project that you have? You have another
He can't tell us, right? Can you tell us a little bit about the other thing you're doing?
He did last time.
Well,
why do we keep referencing an interview no one's ever going to hear? That's already in my trash can on my computer.
Because it was good.
Well, there is something that I'm working on that I can't really discuss in length, but I probably shouldn't have posted some stuff on social media about it already, but I was all, you make something, you get really excited about it.
Excited.
Out for another few months or something, or several months, and then the excitement starts to wear off until it comes out again. So while I'm excited, I want to talk about it and show some pictures, and that's a mini series called Hexcaster. That involves witchcraft and time travel. My little elevator pitch was that it is Army of Darkness meets Back to the Future with a dash of the craft, or flavor dust of the craft.
That flavor dust. So you're throwing that flavor dust all over the place, baby.
Yeah. So that's something. That's probably all I can really say right now. But it's really I can say some of the creative team. They're the artist on it. She's an Italian artist named Marika Cresta. She just did a Marvel one shot.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. Taylor Esposito is lettering it. So I'm sure.
I've heard good things about that feller.
He is a real nice dude. And Marissa Louise is coloring it. So
that's big time right there, Jack.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm really happy to have fortunate to have a really talented team that agreed to work with me and make my little scribbles look good. So
that's fantastic. Yeah,
that's all I can say there, though.
All right. Well, you know what? You said a lot, and that's pretty cool. So good for you, my friend. Good for you. And you can get the trade November 1st of Dr. Crow. Issues coming out in September and October. So pick those up, too. Get all the Dr. Crow stuff you can. You going to be at any shows or anything? You doing any cons coming up?
I was, and then I wasn't. So, no. Right. My schedule's wide open. So, hey, convention people, call me.
Holla at your boy. If you need a guy who can sell comics and do a Macho Man Randy Savage impersonation, then Corey's your dude.
He can cut a promo for your comic.
I will show up at my table dressed as Macho Man if you pay for my table so I don't have to do it myself.
That's a good deal, baby.
That's a nice sell.
That is a good sell. You know what? I think
you want the madness? You're there. I'll be there. Yeah. Miss Elizabeth knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
That's a good macho.
It's great.
Been working on that for 31 years.
And you know what? The work is finally paying off, brother. All right. And Corey, where can we find you on social media and all that jazz?
Well, it's very easy to find me. You can search my name, Corey Fryia. That's CoreyFryia. I am the only Corey Fryia in the world. So in Twitter, it's at Corey Fryia. Facebook, it is, Corey Fryia, obviously. And on Instagram, it's where I change it up a little bit. It is CF Punk, which is a tribute to CM Punk. You can find me.
Let me ask you a question before we let you get out of here. How is the Corvette Museum in Bowling Green, Kentucky? Is it worth it?
No, but all right. There was a giant sinkhole there a couple of years back, and Corvettes, that made it worth it. Actually, you know what? Speaking of that, I was there for like a conference thing not too long ago. There's actually a convention there now, and they just don't invite me, so that's cool. But
have you asked them to invite you? Sometimes you got to ask.
Hey, sometimes you send an email and you don't hear back. So, and sometimes you're bitter like me. But there's where that sinkhole was, they put like a piece of plexiglass over top. I mean, more than plexiglass. So you can walk over part of it and see some cars that are still down in there. So
that's kind of cool.
A little Corvette plant trivia for you.
That's pretty neato. Okay. And then did you get to see Totality? Because it was right over by you when the eclipse came.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I walked right out my front door and bam, there it was.
That's pretty neat.
And I still have my sight, so that's good.
That's cool. my wife and two kids, we drove to Madisonville, which is close to you, and that was pretty amazing.
Totality. So you saw that?
Totality, you saw it. It was awesome. Getting back to Cincinnati took like 9 hours, but it was totally worth it. Totally worth it.
I visited my parents in Cincinnati the week, I guess the Sunday before, because it was on the Monday, and the traffic on the way back, you saw all these camper trailers, and everybody was clearly going down someplace. There and they were looking license plate, and they're from all over the friggin' place.
It was crazy. Yeah, we got that too. It was awesome.
It was nuts.
Totality, bro. Totality. Well, next time you come to Cincinnati, look me up and we'll go make fun of people eating Skyline chili.
Yeah.
And drink coffee.
Yeah.
You guys would drink coffee together.
It'll be awesome.
How about we do this? How about instead we go find poutine somewhere and you have it for the very first time?
All right. Are there any Canadian restaurants in the greater Cincinnati area?
I don't know if are Canadian restaurants a thing. Like, it's like it's some Canadian cuisine. Like, I don't know if that's a thing.
It should be.
It'd be pretty limited. But I mean, there are some.
Oh yeah, welcome to the Canadian restaurant, eh?
I'll tell you what this Canadian restaurant is. It's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Yeah, you could call it the dungeon, like after Stu Hart's dungeon, bro. You're in. Oh yeah, these fries—they're the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Well, Corey Fryia, thank you for coming on. It was a true pleasure. And next time, use the microphone. Just always use the microphone. Recordings you do, use your microphone.
Okay, so I will not plug that in next time.
Yeah, don't. Don't do it.
We want the terrible audio next time.
Yeah, terrible audio. Okay. Terrible audio.
Perfect. There's no screeching this time.
It's really nice. It was really weird. That first bit of audio we recorded, it sounded like the NSA was trying to crack the code or something to hear what we were talking about.
You know, maybe they were.
It was the Imperials. They know that Corey.
They're keeping an eye on they're keeping an eye on the fact that I'm not American, so they're trying to root me out.
It's that beard, dude.
Yeah.
I have the same problem, man.
Not me.
I'm just one of those random searches at the airport.
Dude, they are fun. See, I don't have that problem. I'm just lazy. That's all. Just lazy.
But I mean, you grew up for a minute. You had that hot like 70s mustache, and then
my wife hates it though. Like, what I'll do is I just won't shave for like 3 weeks, and then I'll shave while she's at work and just send her a picture, and she's like, "Just shave." I hate it. And I'm like, "All right," but it's fun for me.
I think you should keep it sometime.
For Halloween, my son, I don't know why I'm keeping Corey on for all this. He doesn't give a shit either way. My son is in this giant Mario Brothers kick because he's a 4-year-old and Nintendo and Mario. Yes, it just reigns free with children. Like any age, they just get it. It's like Mickey Mouse. It's like a Japanese Mickey Mouse. Loves Nintendo. For Halloween, he wants to be Mario. I'm going to be Luigi, so I'm going to grow my mustache out.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You should go Wario and have a really cool mustache.
Yeah, like
zigzag going there.
Wario's got dope shoes, too. He's always got fresh kicks. They're real nice.
Underrated
character. Yeah, they look like gators, you understand?
Pip in the Mario world.
I got my $600 gators on. All right, so Corey, thank you for coming on, buddy. It was a wonderful, wonderful time, and we'll have you back anytime, my friend, so please come
Absolutely.
Back.
Anytime you need me, I'm there.
We'll do it with Hexcaster. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Dun, dun, or dun. If you guys do the Kickstarter for the – when you launch that thing for Dr. Crow and the Elephant Man.
if we could get the timing right, we could have Tom and I, although he's over in England.
Yeah,
so.
It's hard to get those English dudes on. We've been trying to get Rich from what's the name of that book?
I know what you're talking about.
The Vault book. Colossi.
Colossians.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ricardo Moe?
Yeah, we've been trying to have Ricardo on, and we just can't figure it out because, like, it's a nightmare.
We're going to have to do it on a Saturday, and then it's really hard because, we both have kids, so the kids aren't in school. So, we have to figure it out on a day that we can do it.
Yeah. Well, he's a really, really nice guy, and that book's awesome. So
dude, he's fucking great.
You get him on there somehow, definitely, because he's a cool guy. I'm a big fan of his.
We've been lucky with our guests. We get big timers like Corey Freya and Matt Hawkins, and we've been doing pretty all right.
If you're considering me a big timer, you might want to just cancel the podcast as is. I don't think this is going
anywhere. To be fair, Corey, this is the last episode. So
bring it home.
All right, Corey. Well, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that was Corey Freya. Again, his book, the trade paperback, Dr. Crow, Volume 1, comes out in November. Go to your local comic shop and order that thing immediately because it looks pretty, pretty, pretty good. And if he comes, and if you run a con and you're listening to this and you want Corey to come to your show, he will record a Macho Man Randy Savage promo for your show.
So, I mean, and that's what everybody wants.
And I didn't want to sound like we were jocking him, but that was a pretty good Macho Man. Because you know how some people go like, oh yeah, I can do Macho, and they just go, oh yeah, and you're like, yeah, that kind of sucks. But yeah. Corey's was pretty good.
It was solid. Because he even referenced Elizabeth like he did. So I mean it was good.
You can tell
it's not your Dusty Rhodes, but you know.
No, I mean that there was a point in my life where I was actually talking like Dusty Rhodes every second of every day. Because I was just obsessed with it. So, I mean.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe we have to cut a promo as the superpowers. You just do Dusty. I'll do Nikita.
Who's not really Russian.
How you say? Dusty Road. we are looking to get in the ring. How you say?
I met him a few years ago doing radio. And I told him, I was like, when I was a kid, I swore up and down that you were Russian. And
I thought
so
too.
And when you walked into this room, I thought you would be Russian. He was like, yeah, nah. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, he's like, no, I'm from Minnesota. And I was like, wow, that's the coolest thing ever. Like, I thought he was going to walk
in. He sold you on it. Yeah, completely.
Yeah, totally. Because he never broke character because it wasn't the internet and stuff like that. He was just Russian all the time. And I don't remember, he would always say, just do it. And I had no idea what that means, but I was convinced it was a Russian statement. Just do it. I love Nikita Koloff. He was the big bad Russian. He was amazing. The Russian sickle is still one of the greatest finishers in the entire world.
And it looks great for a clothesline.
Yes.
It looks like he took your head off because of how big he was back then. And then they take the straps off and then he'd get the sickle. And
it's much like, I don't know if you watch any Japanese wrestling, but there's this Japanese wrestler now. I forget his name, but his nickname is the Rainmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You can look this dude up. I can't pronounce his name, but he does a clothesline and it looks like the Russian sickle. It is fucking badass.
And I think that's the key to like wrestling talent for me, is if you can make a normal move look like sick, then you're doing something right.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like when you sell The Rock's elbow, like it's just an elbow drop, but there's so much theatrics that go with it that you're just like, you know, all right.
Yeah. That's cool. The Rainmaker Chaos is his name. He was actually the first non-American or non-wrestler to compete in the United States of America that was the number one rated wrestler in the world, according to like Professional Wrestler PWI or whatever, the old wrestling magazine.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, like the dude's amazing. Like he had some great matches with Kenny Omega and stuff. He's in New Japan. He's just sick, dude. His clothesline is vicious. It's amazing. Called the Rainmaker.
So thanks again for listening to Word Bros.
Yeah, and we appreciate it. I'm Bob, and we will talk to you guys soon. And thank you to Corey. We really appreciate you coming on, my friend.
What a great guy.
What a great guy indeed. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.